My friends in Christ, I have long thought that Pentecost is a feast that speaks for itself. Its wind and fire, its colors and sounds tell a story that require little of any commentary. But a little context can always help. Pentecost was a Jewish festival long before it became a Christian one. For our Jewish sisters and brothers, Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, celebrates God's gift of the Torah, the law, to Moses and the chosen people. They celebrated that annually. Our Christian Pentecost celebrates the gift of God's law, too. As St. John Chrysostom, Bishop of Constantinople, observed in a Pentecost homily he gave over 1,500 years ago, here are his words. Pentecost marks the moment when the disciples of Jesus emerged from the upper room carrying within themselves the law of the Spirit, a law written in their hearts. Each became a living law, a living book animated by the Spirit. So, the gift of God's law, the law of the Spirit written in our hearts, provides some of the context for this great feast. But there's more. In the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Luke connected the moment of Pentecost with the story of creation in the book of Genesis. The strong, driving wind that swept through the room where the disciples were gathered was mindful of the waters of the great abyss, that God brought light out of darkness, order out of chaos, the mighty wind of Genesis. So, more context. Pentecost is creation. Think of it as new creation. And then there is yet another Genesis story that gives context for this feast of Pentecost. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. The story you know well. People who spoke common language decided to build a city with a great tower that would reach up into the heavens. They did this, Genesis tells us, because they wanted to make a name for themselves, which suggests that they were driven by pride and ambition. If they could just build their tower high enough, it would pierce the very heavens, and they could steal God's power and become more like God than they already were. Of course, when the tower collapsed, they ended up less like God, speaking a confusion of languages, divided, dispirited, dispersed. Pentecost reverses that story. On the day of Pentecost, there were many languages, but quite amazingly, when people who were gathered in Jerusalem from all over the Mediterranean world heard the preaching of the disciples, each was able to hear them speaking in his or her own tongue. What should have been a hopelessly divisive moment became this amazing moment of unity when the many and the diverse became one. So, historical context can definitely enhance our understanding of Pentecost. But Pentecost also has a contemporary context because, my friends, like all of our feasts, Pentecost lives in the present as well as in the past. Pentecost is happening right now. I trust we can see that in the cathedral all around us, feel it in this liturgy, and I hope we can know it every day. In one of his wonderful off-the-cuff daily homilies, Pope Francis spoke of how the Holy Spirit is with us now, but how we are quite good at keeping the Spirit at a distance from us, quite good at what he calls taming the Holy Spirit. His words, "If I may speak plainly, we want to tame the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit annoys us." The Spirit moves us, pushes the church to move forward, and too often we would prefer it if the Spirit would just keep quiet and not bother us. End of quote. As an example, he spoke of the Second Vatican Council, certainly the most important event in the church in the last 500 years, although some have forgotten it. The Second Vatican Council, that great new Pentecost of St. John the 23rd, He spoke of how some in the church seek to neutralize the council by treating it as a museum piece instead of as the living, dynamic, revolutionary call to action that it was. That's the sure way, Pope Francis said, the sure way to stifle the spirit. My friends, Pentecost is about letting the spirit bother us, annoy us, make us uncomfortable. Pentecost is about daring to engage the world with all its destructive divisions, personal, political, religious, seeing them for the dead ends they are. How sad then, if out of fear, we stand on the sidelines, clinging to our comfortable certainties, content to live in a kind of echo chamber, close off to entering into dialogue with those whose views differ from our own. In his great apostolic exhortation, Gaudete et Exultate, Pope Francis warns against allowing ourselves to be paralyzed by fear and excessive caution, always hiding in what he calls safe, closed spaces. Closed spaces, he says, grow musty and unhealthy, and the only antidote to them is a holy boldness, the kind of boldness that sent the disciples out into the streets on Pentecost. And then he concludes, let us ask for the apostolic boldness to share the gospel with others and to stop making our Christian life a museum of memories. A museum of memories. My friends, that must not be the church. It must not be our life either. A museum of memories is the very opposite of the new creation that is Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit of Pentecost comes to us in fire to awaken and embolden us, to make us eager to renew and repair relationships, relationships within families and among friends, relationships between peoples and nations, and yes, our very relationship with the creation all around us. My friends, may the Spirit of Pentecost come to us now in this Eucharist. May the Spirit annoy us, disturb us, prod us, push us out of the cathedral and into the streets, into our homes, our workplaces, into all those places where faith and love, conviction and compassion, mercy and justice can make a difference. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.